This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the first Friends with Friends of 2024.
Ooh, ahoy hoy.
My name is still very much Pete Allison, and this is still very much Dave Cribb.
Ahoy, very much ahoy. How are we? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you all. I hope you've had a lovely festive period. I hope the radiator was cranked up so high that you all sweated at your Christmas parties and then bought the super cookies.
The what?
I know. So many words we don't use. That's the problem, isn't it? You know, in that episode where they buy Mr. Trigger cookies.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, they're not
what,
bad,
for Christmas?
But they bake Mr. Trigger. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then, oh, they were so personal. You know, all that.
Do you want an insight into the slightly shambolic setup that I've got?
Yeah.
The stand for my microphone snapped, as it is brittle plastic. So I currently have my microphone jammed into a pen pot.
Oh, what kind of pen pot?
Well, it was a flower pot. I just use it as a pen pot. Good pen pot chat, this.
But it was a flower pot and now it's a pen pot?
Yeah.
That's sad. That means you don't get very many flowers.
I do. No, people... No, I don't. I feel a bit weird about being bought flowers.
Do you? Why?
I don't know why. Buy me a house plant. Great.
You're going to say, buy me a house. Fine.
No, like flowers die within a few days.
I see.
Houseplants last longer.
It takes
if
me
I
a lot longer
them.
To kill my houseplants, I'll tell you that. I do get there at the end, but it takes a lot while.
Yeah.
A long while longer. All right.
I'd say they're pretty much the same price. So just buy people plants, guys.
Well, if you needed. In sort of, what's the word? Encouragement? Ever? Or if you ever meet Pete or I, don't buy him flowers. That's what we decided, isn't it?
Yeah, I can buy myself flowers, to quote Miley Cyrus.
Oh, Christ. There you go. A new year, a new you, is it? All independent and, you know.
No. Absolutely. Still reliant on all the same people I was before.
Should you talk about friends?
Yes, and not one, not two. But three requests for the same episodes.
Oh, my days. I'm going to have to sort of speed read these, aren't I? Otherwise, this episode's going to be longer than the sun.
Well, they are quite concise.
Concise. Yes, fine. Okay, here we go. Ahoy, hoy, Dave and Pete. I love the podcast. Oh, thanks, Lauren. I wanted to request...
Are we going to read out comments that people will love the podcast three times?
Yeah, of course we are.
Okay, fine.
That's the best bit of the requests for me.
Fine.
The rest of it's superfluous, frankly. We know what episode we're going to be talking about. It's on the title, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to request arguably the strangest episode of Friends. I'm glad you've led with that, Lauren. The one with the sharks. Gets a lot of flack for the shark storyline, and it's bizarre, but it highlights how well Monica and Chandler work as a couple. Actually, I've got something interesting to say about that, Peter. So stick a pin in that.
Everybody stand by for Dave's interesting thought.
I've got
Brace yourself, guys.
I've got an opinion. And
he's
you
not afraid to share it.
I will share it. The Joey storyline is forgettable, no pun intended. Yeah, very good. But the storyline with Ross, Phoebe and Mike has its share of funny moments. Excited to hear your take on this episode. Cheers all the way from British Columbia, Canada. Ahoy Hoy BC. Thanks, Lauren. Let's see if his next request comes from anywhere further away. I'll just scan
it. It doesn't say.
Fuck's sake. James says, hi, Dave and Pete. Massive fan of Fwoof. Oh, James. And I've been dying to hear you talk about the one with the shark.
Dying. He's been dying to hear us talk about it.
It's the absolute best, worst, so good it's bad plot. My theory is the writers were secretly making a reference to Jumping the Shark to mark the fact they made it to 9 seasons without doing so. I can't think of any other explanation for why it would be okayed. Otherwise, there's a nice Phoebe and Ross pairing. Vikram sounds totally like someone Phoebe would go out with. And Joey's storyline is good too. I've made a quiz and everything. Massive thanks, James. Oh, thanks, James. That spoils a bit of Jeopardy for later in the podcast, but we'll still play the game, won't we, Pete?
Well,
maybe
plot twist.
A plot twist. Kirsty says, hey, you two. That's a nice greeting. That's
quite familiar,
friendly.
That, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I like it there. I mean, feel warm inside that. She goes on to say, I absolutely love the pod. Oh, Kirsty. I've been plucking up the courage to make a request.
Plucking up the courage.
For 5 years.
Courage is not required to message friends with friends.
You're messaging two idiots.
Yeah.
What courage possibly could you have needed?
Yeah, and you can pluck up the courage and then we won't even reply for like 6 months.
Yeah, look, I mean, when did you actually, when was the courage plucked, I
probably
wonder?
Like a fucking year ago.
Yeah. Sorry to not
I'm not
mark.
Even joking, it was probably literally a year ago.
Kirsty, we are so sorry to not have marked your courage plucking sooner. And very pleased you did pluck up the courage, can I just say, Peter? I'd like to request the one with the sharks. No, Kirsty. The shark porn and Ross and Phoebe's Vikram storyline is so ridiculous and funny. I think it's a very funny Ross episode. Thanks for making the best podcast. Thanks, Kirsty. Oh, that's so nice.
Can I put my cards on the table very early?
Card away.
I think by reputation, because there is a plot as referenced in the episode title about sharks and wanking.
Yeah.
That in my head, I thought, well, this is going to be a load of bollocks. I really liked this episode.
Interesting.
I did some lols.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some lols, aren't there, Ashley, aren't there? Yeah. And I do have my thoughts as well, Pete, so don't forget I've got my thought.
Yeah, no, we're all looking forward to that.
My big thought, it inspired a big thought. I don't have a big thought often. I have quite a lot of little thoughts. But
Is your grade A thought going to be on the meat market?
I didn't say grade A, I just said a big thought, you know? Yeah. But it will be absolutely on
Dave's
the market.
Big thought.
Dave's big thought. Yes, okay, look, I'm very aware. We don't have to really paint the picture. A synopsis for you, Peter. Season 9, episode 4, the one with the sharks, 175253. Very middling, that, as a production code for me.
A bit better.
Monica visits Chandler and tells her, surprising him while he's watching porn in his hotel room. In a panic, he switches on a shark documentary, leading Monica to believe the sea creatures turned him on.
That's a ridiculous
sentence. Joey thinks he's slept with a girl he's dating. Phoebe fears losing Mike after Ross tells him she's never had a long-term relationship. To make amends, Ross talks to Mike, but makes up a story that Phoebe had a six-year-long relationship with an East Indian man named Vikram.
East Indian's very specific.
Yeah, is that specified in
the script?
I don't
think it is it?
No, I'm not sure it is either. And I hope it's based on something more than identifying where Ross's Indian accent would have originated
which
from.
I don't think should be used to geographically locate anything.
No, certainly the low point of the episode, because a very funny punchline, to be fair. But it's the bit where it all clears up. You go, oh, God, here he comes on the voicemail. Here comes Ross doing an Indian accent. Should we knock Joey off first?
Yes. Yes.
Because I feel like that this storyline is basically three scenes, isn't it?
One of which is one of those odd inner monologue friends moments that happen from time to time.
Yes, an inner monologue where he's just wandering around a room and getting his ass spiked by a cactus.
Yeah, and doesn't know what a cactus is.
Doesn't know what a cactus is. That's very strange, isn't it? Also, this plot does rely heavily on Joey not really thinking much at all, doesn't it? Like, I understand that he wouldn't have immediately jumped to the conclusion that it was her roommate, right?
Yeah.
But famously, people sometimes move apartment.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he could have just slept with someone 10 years ago that used to live there. I don't think it'd be entirely implausible that, like, people within his sort of vague social sphere in the area that they live in, you know, he might just have absolutely happened to have found someone else that lived in that same apartment, you know?
Also, the environment that he's in only becomes familiar to him again when he's in the flat. Like, they're implying there's no kind of, oh, I've been to this building before. Oh, I've been to this flat, like, approached this flat before. It's only when he sees a painting that his memory is
dropped. It's strange what triggers Joey's memory, isn't it?
Art.
Art.
Maybe it's quite profound.
He's deeper than we think, is our Joey.
Yeah.
He doesn't recognise buildings. He doesn't recognise entrance hallways or stairwells.
Doesn't know what a cactus is, but damn, he recognises art.
All his sort of botanical knowledge, P, has been pushed out to the side by his deep and profound knowledge of art.
Yeah.
And how art affects his brain. Going back to where Joey first meets Hayley, who, frankly, I think Hayley gets short shrift in this episode. I know she bins Joey off, but feels to me a bit like a waste of a good character because they seem to get on really well.
Yeah, she seems nice. She seems like a great. Good match for him.
Right? They seem to have a great time. She, like, gives as good as she gets, you know? I think, oh, what a waste of Hayley, frankly.
Mm.
But in the scene where they are meeting in the coffee house, I do enjoy Gunther's little cameo with his scoffing.
Yeah, good bit of Gunthering here.
Very good bit of toing and froing and Gunthering. I mean, Hayley should have clicked quicker, really, when Gunther was scoffing. She can't be acting surprised when Joey slept with her flatmate after all the scoffing. I really enjoy the line, oh, we even like the same books, when Joey finds the Victoria's Secret catalogue in her apartment. That's it, really. The rest of this is a moot point, isn't it? Joey sort of tries to talk to Rachel and Monica. They don't offer any sort of sensible solution. I just think at some point someone would have gone, maybe it's just somebody else that used to live in that apartment. Maybe your friend used to live there.
I mean, Rachel is the advocate of continuing to date this person because they seemingly are on the same kind of promiscuous level. Obviously, yes, that doesn't end up being the case. But
poor old Hayley's been tarred with the wrong brush there, isn't she?
Yeah.
She seems more wholesome overall. I would have liked to see the spin-off of Hayley and her flatmate afterwards having a chat. So the flatmate comes back. Joey realises, quite a funny sort of realisation scene, isn't it, that way? He's like, oh, I still got it. I'll show myself out.
Yeah.
And everybody sort of just, it's a nod and a see you later. And that's absolutely fine and acceptable in the circumstances, I think. That's basically the entire Joey plotline, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Concise, that was. Nice work, everyone.
Concise. Tulsa?
To Tulsa.
Or do you want to do Vikram? Look, the thing about this, Pete, right, is that objectively, the Vikram storyline is the biggest.
Oh, it's better. Right? No, let's do Tulsa.
The most meat. No, but you haven't let me finish this.
No, fine. Oh, is this your big thought?
Tulsa involves my big thought.
Oh, okay.
Whether you want to save my big thought for the end or not.
No, I kind of want it now. I think we've built up enough hype for your big thought.
Oh, I mean, that makes me feel insignificant, frankly.
Okay, well.
Exactly as I intended.
Sounds like a you problem. Yeah.
So Chandler has to stay in Tulsa to do something that Monica doesn't really know. I love that we're still continuing the trend of nobody really knowing what Chandler's job is or what he does, including his wife. It's nice of Joey to have that idea of her flying out to surprise him, wasn't it?
Yes, it's a nice thought. Hadn't occurred to her, had it?
It's a sweet thought. No, well, that's weird that it hadn't occurred to her. Nice, sweet thought from Joey that he immediately ruins by doing weird underwear chat.
Oh, yeah, when he guesses what underwear she has.
Yeah. That's your best mate's wife, mate.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say it's a bit weird to any woman, but to someone that you've got such a sort of intimate relationship with via your best friend, like, would Chandler just be all right with Joey trying to work out what sexy underwear his wife has, do you reckon?
Well, like, Tulsa-wise, I feel like Tulsa gets a really bad rep in Friends. Like, they're like, eye roll, Tulsa. Like, I don't know much about Tulsa. I feel like I remember us Googling the population of Tulsa.
Should we look again?
Yeah, okay, 2 seconds.
Let's get some Tulsa facts. It looks nice. It looks nice from the photos.
411,000 is the population of Tulsa, which, if you compare that to a UK city, that is slightly more than Cardiff.
A nice size for a city, Pete, I'd say.
A fine size for a city.
A fine city. Tulsa has a number of cycling trails and has installed protected bike lanes in parts of the downtown area. Sounds good to
nice,
me.
Yeah.
Tulsa has a temperate climate. Sounds good to me.
If any American listeners tell us what the American general stereotypical perception of Tulsa is.
It was very conservative, apparently.
Right.
Majority of Tulsans being conservative Christians.
Well, they won't be big on sharks and wanking them, will they?
Known as the Bible Belt. No, won't like a shark wank down in Tulsa, will they?
No, Chandler undoing his Bible Belt.
That's a bloody... Tulsa is home to several museums, though, Pete.
Joey should go there and see some art.
Absolutely. The flag of Tulsa is considered one of the most attractive city flags in the United States.
That feels like someone who designed the flag wrote that.
Oh my God, do you know what their big sculpture is?
No.
It's something called the Golden Driller.
Right.
And it's a giant gold man drilling for oil, I presume.
Sounds very American.
Sounds very American.
A man with a
it?
Tool. Oh, I've just oh, yes, there he is.
The Golden Driller. I'm learning a lot about Tulsa. This is a very educational moment, I think. The last thing I will say about Tulsa is that the Tulsa Zoo, was voted America's favourite zoo in 2005.
There's a TV show I'd watch.
In a connection with the national promotion of the Microsoft game Zoo Tycoon 2.
Oh, yeah. I never played Zoo Tycoon. I played Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I played Roller Coaster Tycoon, but never Zoo Tycoon. Crikey.
Good, well done, Tulsa. Things to do. Well, Monica would have a nice weekend there.
Mate, she can go see the Golden Driller, go to the zoo, have some barbecue or something, go to church if she wanted to. But yeah, I'd like to know the perception of Tulsa because my only knowledge of Tulsa is from friends, you know?
Give us your big thought.
Right, my big thought. Picture the scene, Pete. Chandler in Tulsa, right? Entering his hotel room, singing along to Oklahoma. Already a tick for me. Bit of a, you know, musical theatre moment.
Oh my God, do you like musicals?
Oh my God, have I mentioned it before? Very comfortable in his own skin. Am I going to go to the gym? Am I bollocks, basically, is what he says. You know, I know what I'm doing. I'm happy here. What's the key thing about Chandler here? He's on his own, Pete. He's so happy on his own.
Oh, that's a fair point, yeah.
Is Chandler better on his own? Because we've often bemoaned that when him and Monica get together, he goes a bit meh, Chandler, you know? He just goes a bit,
yeah, he's quite chirpy.
For want of a better word. Here he is, literally singing his way through the hotel and, like, being completely happy in his own skin, knows what he wants to do. I'll be honest, and I know part of this is the wanking thing, but feels like he's a bit disappointed that he's not going to have the sort of night in on his own that he planned in his hotel when Monica arrives. Well, no, but do you know what I mean? Like, he's clearly settling in for, like...
Oh, a bit of self-care,
Bit of self-care. Maybe he'll get a takeaway later. Maybe he'll, you know, read a book, watch a non-porn film. Like, it just feels like he feels a bit underwhelmed when Monica arrives.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it's the happiest I've seen him since he got married, Pete. That's all I'm saying.
I do... my favourite bit of all of this is... Well, firstly, the Chandler watches shark porn when...
Yeah.
By the way, it takes half an episode before Rachel appears.
Yeah, she doesn't. She's not in the first half at all, is she? It's
it's
weird.
Like 11 minutes in before she's here. Anyway, yeah. I really like the scene of Monica attempting to like make Chandler happy. The line, do you want me to fast forward to something toothier? That is great.
Get in the tub and thrash.
Monica suggesting getting in the bath and thrashing around, also great. It's a rare later Chandler and Monica scene that I actually like, or storyline that I actually like. It's ridiculous, but I like it.
It's very clear to me that Chandler is genuinely confused during that entire scene, though. Like, it's, you know, it's not like he's trying to play along and cover up his shark fetish. No. That man is baffled.
Yeah, he has no idea what's going on.
No, and Monica really plows ahead. And again, like the point is made, proves what a good, loving relationship they do have, that she was willing to sort of go to these lengths. But ultimately, I think this is a classic Friends fast plot line that could have just been solved by Monica just going, "Were you watching sharks and wanking?" And he's like, "No, I was watching porn, mate."
Yeah.
Or her just assuming, "Oh, he's probably watching porn and changed the channel."
Yes, that would. Like,
that's quite a normal situation,
especially
right?
Especially given he sort of faffed about for the TV remote when she walked in.
Yes. Yes, exactly. On a technical level, a couple of technical levels, Pete. Chandler orders pay-per-view porn without actually paying for it.
Yeah, he switches it on, doesn't he?
Switches it straight on. Does that mean he's previously paid for it and it's just sort of running in the background, then he can turn it on for 24 hours or something like that? You know, well, I imagine that's how pay-per-view porn works. It's not really a thing from our era, is it, pay-per-view porn?
Married man living away, he's perhaps...
Probably got it on tap, hasn't he?
Yeah, put it on expenses.
The other technical point I'd like to flag is where Monica acquired her shark movie, the video store. You don't get a lot of video stores these days, do you?
Well, no. They're very much a thing of the past. You can stream.
Well, apparently,
you can probably stream all the shark videos you like.
Apparently, video stores are back on, Pete. This is my news that I bring to you.
Well, what would you buy there?
Well, in the same way that sort of like vinyl stores are a thing now.
Oh, did you know that sales of CDs went up last year?
Right, there you go. Yeah. So vintage sort of video store vibe is now back on, I think.
Mm.
I don't know how lucrative a sort of business it could possibly be. Because, frankly, so here's the thing, Pete. I don't understand. There's one thing I don't understand in life, and I'm sure everyone will tell me I'm wrong. I don't understand vinyls.
What generally?
I do not understand the fucking point of a vinyl.
Oh, right.
Like,
I
this might just go on. Well,
I think it's a bit more like indulging in the sound of an album, of a record. I think it's focused listening.
But you know what the sound is on a vinyl? Crap.
Right.
Like, it's obviously crapper than listening to it on a nice high definition version, right?
Right. I've never owned any vinyl.
I know a lot of my friends have got them and they love them. They honestly do. I mean, I can't be asked leaving the house if I need something like that. So I'd always rather I'd rather stream something than go to the cinema.
You are the person who gets the most stuff ordered to their home that I know. So that does not surprise me.
100%, 100%. Therefore, I don't, and wandering around a vinyl shop just to get some old vinyls that I can get on Spotify does not appeal to me. Sound quality is worse. It's more of a faff. You have to stand up and put it on. I can just get Alexa to do it.
Right.
Anyway, that's my tuppence on vinyls. And I'm not... It's not me saying it's not...
Why are you putting your tuppence on vinyls?
I don't know, Pete. Felt like the right era. It's not me to say people shouldn't enjoy vinyls. Each to their own.
Oh, no, you seem very... I'd say quite aggressively anti-viral? Vinyl?
Anti-viral. I'm against vinyls for me, Pete, personally, based on my sensibilities. Anyway... The idea of a vintage video store for me is absolute, like, I'm not going to go to one of those because if I want to see a thing that's from 1992, I'll just get it up on, you know, one of the streamers or something.
Okay, fair enough.
There you go. Anyway, to sum up, Chandler and Monica and the Sharks.
I'd argue that your big thought is actually your takedown of vinyl.
Yeah, I've had two big thoughts this episode, haven't I, Pete?
Yeah.
Chandler's happier without Monica, and vinyl's crap.
Mm.
We're all getting Dave's big thoughts today.
Aren't we just?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So to sum up, basically, Monica should have thought about it for more than 4 seconds and should have realised he was probably watching porn and changed the channel at the end.
Yeah, fair.
And Rachel doesn't do much to help this, does she?
Well, she doesn't do much in this episode, full stop.
She really doesn't, but in this specific case, she's like there is clearly a sensible explanation, and she is sort of allowing Monica's madness to prevail here.
Yeah.
Talking of madness, Ross Geller.
Yeah. The odd thing about this episode and how emotional Phoebe is in this plot, yeah. Like the idea of never having anything that turns into something serious. Yeah. I don't think Phoebe's very, like, typically easy to rattle or upset, so it feels a little bit out of character that she all of a sudden completely spirals into this kind of blubbering mess.
Especially because I don't think Ross is genuinely trying to do that as well. Like, he's sort of saying, oh, it's cool, you've had a good time in your life and you've enjoyed your life and you're not particularly worried about settling down.
Yeah, he phrases it in a really clunky way, doesn't he? But it's not quite enough to cause this instant existential crisis that it feels like Phoebe's having about her love life.
No, and it feels like Phoebe, character-wise, even if she did have a brief moment of sadness, would very much be the sort of person that could pull it together and just go on a date and not continue crying all the way through the date.
Yeah, although you do get a glimpse of typical cutting Phoebe where she's like, oh my God, I want to trade lives with Ross.
I'd say overall it's very bad friend work and advice from Ross, especially as he points out with his track record on relationships, like flagging up, oh, you've never done this thing that I have miserably failed at. So, you know, it's like a builder saying to me, oh, you've never built a house, but this builder's, all the houses have fallen down. It's like, what's the fucking, this is not good. That's not a good metaphor, actually, is it? Let me think of a better metaphor. What's a better metaphor than me having an imaginary conversation with a builder about houses that have fallen down?
No, I like that. Let's stick with that.
Do you know what I mean, though? He's sort of saying, oh, I can't believe you've never done this thing. And this thing is basically a disaster, you know, 100% disaster. His entire life has been. Also, Phoebe's definitely had relationships, right? Not long, long years and years.
Well, quite.
She moved in with Gary, didn't she?
Like, and also, what about the love of her life who lives in Minsk and ends up complicating things by wanting to marry her?
Well, exactly. And she's even been married. I know she thought he was gay at the time, but she definitely had deep feelings for Duncan as well. Like, there's definitely been significant people in Phoebe's life that we've even seen that I think she should just be like, oh yeah, what about David? I loved him and that only didn't work out cause of Belarus, you know?
And also, why would it bother Mike that Phoebe's never had a serious relationship? Because things are typically more complicated by the experience of exes. Like, this is actually more straightforward.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's like, unless you were convinced that they were some sort of like arrested development and they hadn't grown up at all, but that's clearly not true of Phoebe. She's clearly like got her shit together, right? Yeah. She just hasn't happened to find that person. Yeah, you'd absolutely, I think, see that as, oh, that's nice. I can be her one, you know?
My favourite part of this whole episode is not only the, just more broadly like the fictional creation of Vikram.
Yeah.
But specifically the detail that Vikram is a kite designer.
Freelance kite designer.
Yeah, like the fact that he designed kites and then the line of also, that bastard is one smooth-talking freelance kite designer is very, very good.
It's a bad decision on Phoebe's part to embrace the Vikram thing.
Yeah.
But when she does, she really goes in deep, as you'd expect from Phoebe. And actually, do you know what? I think Phoebe's incredibly lucky that Mike just goes, ah, lol, and kisses her. And yeah. doesn't go, hang on, what, you... Our entire evening has just been a massive lie then? Have you just been make... Like, this is slightly strange and worrying behaviour that you've just created this entire fiction, you know?
Perhaps it's a sign, Dave, that they are a good match and that he truly is the love of her life.
It could absolutely be argued that Mike's a bit mad too because this is halfway through the second date when he uses the sentence, I think I could make you happy.
Yeah.
Which... I'd say by any token is a bit soon.
Mm. There's a couple of other lines that I love in this. I love Mike telling Ross that he thinks he looks like he belongs in a cult, and Ross saying, damn supercuts, is really good.
Don't know what references.
There is supercuts are still on. There's one. There's one quite near my flat. I don't go.
There's one in the Westfield there near me. I've been there once.
Much do you reckon a haircut is in supercuts these days?
Well, I went about 3 years ago because I needed an emergency haircut and I couldn't get into my normal place.
Right, I'm going to look at. Right, place your bets. Men's haircut in supercuts. How much do you think that is?
See, what I think you're going to find, Pete, based on a vague memory in my brain, is that it's not as cheap as you would want it to be. I don't think... I don't know.
Oh, no, you're right. In my head, it was going to be like tenner.
10 quid, right, exactly. Isn't it like 20, 25, something like that?
So a level one haircut, short hair above the ear for a dry haircut, you're paying £21.95.
22 quid's too much, Pete, for a supercut.
If you want a classic supercut... Which is...
What's that?
It includes shampoo, condition, cut and blow dry.
Yeah.
£30.50.
Yeah.
That
I
is...
mean, so I do get that at my place. That is a lot. And it's about 60 quid. 55,
Did
60
you then
quid.
Have it straightened for an additional £6.50?
No, but I bet you'd
Did you
pay
have
for that if I told
a moisture boost for £4.50?
No, but I want a moisture boost.
Or a super
what
boost.
What else can I get?
Imagine how you'd boost. Look with the full... So you'd have to pay... Would you say that your hair is below shoulder or below breastbone?
Not even below shoulder. Jaw to shoulder.
So jaw to shoulder. Okay, yeah. So therefore...
I'm on the page now.
Going to say, for the jaw to shoulder, you're level three. Are you treating yourself to a shampoo? Are you having a supercut?
I'll get everything, mate. Always.
So you're paying £34.50 for that. Are you having it straightened?
Shall we? Are you going to pitch in for straightening? I think you'd like to see
£41. Yeah. Then for an additional super boost, you're paying £47.50 if you want the full supercuts experience with your hair, Dave.
Yeah, and that's not much cheaper than my actual sort of like bougie place that I would go to normally, you know?
Yeah, wow.
There you go. Told you. Supercuts, not as cheap as you think they are, but probably very good quality. I don't remember having any issues with my haircut or supercuts.
Well,
you'd hope so.
You'd hope that they were a decent quality given, you know, you're paying the go... Well, these days, the going rate.
Absolutely. The other thing I really enjoy about this whole Mike-Ross interaction, which does prove that Mike and Ross can have conversations, by the way, which becomes a cropper later.
That's true.
But I think Mike's reactions to Ross immediately are very funny. They really endear me to Mike. First, Ross arrives at the door and Ross sort of says something like, you know, I need to talk to you. And Mike's like, sure. Who are you?
Yeah.
Very funny moment. And then later on, when Mike sort of leans into the sass a bit more, he sort of goes, yeah, I've just called Phoebe up. I'm seeing her tonight. I hope that's okay with you, stranger from the coffee house.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? This is nothing to do with you. Bugger off. But I do enjoy that side of Mike, you know?
Good episode, this. I also enjoy the last Phoebe line that I really like is, a rabid dog would be feasting on your danglers right now.
You really get a glimpse into Phoebe's soul here, don't
you? Pure aggression.
Yeah, absolutely. I do get a slight anxiety at the start of this episode, and I got it this time when... I was like, oh, Ross and Phoebe are talking about Mike. This is going to be the Vikram thing. This is going to be a lot of hard work for Phoebe and Ross now. You know?
No, it's actually funny.
No, it is good. It is very good. Would you like a factual tidbit? I've had my big thought. Oh, maybe two big thoughts. Would you like a big fact?
New features for 2024. Yeah, What's your big fact?
There was a short-lived spin-off, Peter, of Friends in India. What was Ross's equivalent character called?
Vikram.
Vikram.
Wow, that is
good,
a good fact.
Good fact, that, isn't it?
That is good a good fact.
Fact. So, Ross is implying that Phoebe, for 6 years, dated Ross in India.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I'll take that.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
I know we've already mentioned this, but do we have a quiz?
Well, Dave.
No, hang on, let me ask a question, because there's no Jeopardy at the moment, but let me inject some Jeopardy. Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
Do we have one quiz?
No. We have double quiz.
Double quiz, double quiz.
The first quiz comes from Lauren. You ready?
Given yeah, speed these, quiz.
Yeah, exactly. We've all got things to do.
We've got places to be.
Question one. Which celebrity did Vikram used to date?
Oh, Christ. I can't remember that at all. What was it?
Oprah.
Oprah. Oh, yeah.
I think you've already mentioned this. Question two. What was the name of Joey's date?
Hayley.
Correct. What was the name of the non-shark film that Monica said the video store had?
Oh,
Since
that's
a Crocodile, isn't it?
Western, yeah. What was it?
Crocodile Killers.
Killers, yeah.
Is that people who kill crocodiles or crocodiles that kill?
That kill. Who knows, Pete? We'll have to go to the video store and rent it out, won't we?
That's true. Question four. When Ross was looking for Mike, how many other Mike Hannigans did he say he bothered, not including the real one?
Four? Three.
What do you want me to go for?
Wait, on the other... Four. Four.
It is four, yeah.
Yes.
Question five. What was depicted on the painting that scared Joey? It's a couple of, like, people in black and white, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of weird. I didn't even really sort of register it as a thing. It was just sort of weird modern art, wasn't it? What's the official answer?
A person walking / standing and a person sitting behind them and some chairs scattered around them. That's very specific.
Thank you for going to that level of detail, though, frankly.
Right, you ready for James's quiz?
Am I ever?
Oh, what is the name of the woman who Joey thinks he slept with before?
Hayley.
It is still Hayley, yeah. And which item of furniture in her apartment first tips Joey off that he's been there before?
The couch?
Well, I'd argue it's the painting is the answer provided, which I'd say is not furniture.
No, definitely not. When he said furniture, my brain thought of furniture. Painting isn't furniture.
Hmm. Anyway, thanks for the quiz. How long were Phoebe and Vikram supposedly together?
6 years.
Is correct. What role play fantasy did Ross once get Rachel to take part in? It's cave related, isn't it?
Archaeologist ice woman.
Yeah, unfreezing her from a block of ice.
Frozen. Yeah, we didn't really touch on that, did we? I think that's kinkier than Ross is capable of, is what I would say.
Yeah, okay.
Ross is not that kinky. Ross
they do the Princess Leia stuff as well.
Yeah, but he had to really be pushed to that, didn't he? Yes, he really pushed to sort of admit the Princess Leia thing. I think the idea of him engaging in full role play, where Rachel's a frozen cave woman.
Do you know what role play is, really? It's fancy dress, isn't it? And
yeah.
Especially if it's like costume-based role play.
Yeah.
And I don't think I could shag someone in fancy dress.
No, it's not like no kink shaming here. I can't imagine any sort of role play scenario that wouldn't just make me laugh. Do you know what I mean?
It would be absurd.
It's silly, isn't it? It's silly.
Like Ross is shagging a cave woman in that situation.
Right. Insane. Like, is Rachel supposed to like sort of emulate the language of a cave woman?
Grunt.
You're like right. Like, at what point do you draw the role-playing line?
Yeah.
Is he freezing her? Is he going to freeze her?
Yeah, literally put her in a block of ice.
Yeah, or just, like, give her a block of ice.
Method
like,
not... role-play. finally, what alternative did Monica suggest to the shark video, wondering does it have to be sharks? We've already had this question.
Crocodiles.
Crocodile killers, yeah.
And tub thrashing.
Thanks for the quizzes, guys. Quiz eye.
Thank you for the quiz eye.
Would you like to know what next week's episode is?
Why did you laugh when you asked that?
Because from the title of the request, I'm still none the wiser as to what it really is.
Oh, good.
So it's the one with two parts part one.
Just part one?
Which is series one, episode 16.
Yeah, hang on, but quick question before we go into this. That's the one with Ursula in, by the way, like the one like where Joey...
But I think
Ursula.
It's because we've done part two.
Have we done part two? That was going to be my question.
Let me check. Hang on. Here come the spreadsheets. Yes.
And when did we have?
Well, it'll be bloody ages ago. So yeah, it's the... I mean, this is a good one for us to tick off.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one with two parts, part one, which is season one, episode 16. That's what we're doing next week.
It's completionism, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. I look forward to turning that one red in my spreadsheet.
Yes. All right, all the best.
All right, bye.
Oh, no. Did you want to talk about anything else?
No, just slightly gentler goodbye would be nice.
Oh, okay. Hey, Pete. Nice to talk to you. Hope your New Year's resolutions are going well.
Goodbye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.